Good morning, everyone. If you'd like to grab one of the Bibles in front of you, there should be a few scattered around. We have two Bible readings this morning, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. So our first one is found on page 617, and it's Psalm 127. So that's page 617 in the black Bibles in front of you. Psalm 127. A song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Our second reading is in the New Testament. We've been going through the book of Colossians, so we're right at the end of the book. It's on page 1185. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to 18. So that's on page 1185. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brother and sisters of Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you, in turn, read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Kim. Well, as Kim mentioned, this is the last of our little Bible teaching times in the sermon series Being Church through the New Testament book of Colossians. Inside your bulletin that you received as you came in today, you would receive a little outline of the sermon. It's a summary of the sermon as well. Little outlines are great in sermons because, one, you can just sort of follow along with the preacher. Also, they help you to remember things during the week. And as I say to the congregation, it also tells you how long the sermon's going for as well, too. You can check down, oh, he's only got a few more minutes to go. But it's a great little sermon series, I think, that we've been looking at through the little book of Colossians. And we've been reminded of then what it means to be church. Now, let me just put you firstly into the situation. Paul, the Apostle Paul, it's about 2,000 years ago. Again, all these letters are written about 60 AD. Paul is actually under house arrest. He has been proclaiming the truth about Jesus Christ, that he died and that he rose again, that he saw Jesus, that he's now been commissioned to actually tell the world about how people can be right with God through the person and work of Jesus. This is what the gospel is. God has saved us. We don't save ourselves. We couldn't do it ourselves. There'd be no need for Christmas and Easter. No need for God to send his son into the world if we do it ourselves. So God has sent himself into the world and his son to save us through his perfect work and through his death, taking our punishment on the cross and rising from the dead to prove that it's all been done for us. That's what makes Christianity different to all other religions, is that it's a done thing. We're right with God by what God has done, not what we do. And so Paul is actually, this message for many people was liberating, and it was wonderful to hear this message. And it is today still for many people like us here at St. Andrews. It's a liberating message to know that we are right with God through the work of Jesus, saved by his wonderful love as a gift, received by faith. But there were a number of people who didn't like the message, who found the message offensive, that Jesus himself was the only way to be right with God. And so those who found the message offensive actually found that they took advantage of the opportunity of bringing Paul and Christians before the authorities, the Roman governing authorities at that time, and then found that they would bring their a case before the governing authorities. Paul, in this situation, being a Roman citizen, appealed to Caesar. And so Paul is allowed, unlike many others, to go and face Caesar. And in the meantime, he's under house arrest there in Rome, waiting upon to meet with Caesar, to share with him the reason for why he believes that Jesus is the only way to be right with God, that Jesus is the Christ. And in the meantime, he practices what he preaches. He takes the opportunity. We learned a couple of weeks that our prayer life, Paul was saying, in the life of the church, is to pray that God will give us every opportunity to be like Jesus to each other and have an opportunity for others to hear about Jesus too. And so he writes to a number of churches nearby and to a number of ministers or leaders in the church, lay and set apart to encourage them in their walk with the Lord and in their caring for one another. And so Colossians is one of those letters written around about 60 AD to the church that met in Colossae, which is modern day Turkey. Anyone been to Colossae or seen it in their travelings around? Paul was not on a holiday. He was in jail. But Colossae is still there in Turkey today. And so we come to the end of this letter as he's been talking about what it means to be a Christian and how to live life together in the life of the church. And the last little bit in the sermon series today is governance. And talking about, and you look at a passage like this and you think, what can you learn from a list of names and people greeting one another? And there's a lot that we can learn from these last little verses here in your Bibles. And so open up your sermon outline and the Bibles in front of you, and let's continue, and we're going to look about the governance of the church. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not left people to have to struggle to try or work out for themselves who you are. You have made yourself known. In the past, you spoke to people in many and various ways. But in these last days, you've spoken to us once and for all in your Son, Jesus. You became one of us. Help me now, Father God, to teach the word that you entrusted to those who witnessed you, whom you wanted to pass on this message. Help me to teach it correctly today. And may we experience your Holy Spirit guiding us into truth, seeing the value of living life your way in the life as your people. Amen. Now, this message, first and foremost, is a message to Christians. And if you've not yet actually put your faith in Jesus, then this is a message to be thinking about. Well, you know, sounds pretty good to live a life. Well, sounds pretty good to live a life God's way. But I would be saying to you, if you're not a Christian, if you know that to be true or you're not certain of it, then please, that is the most important thing for you to be thinking about today, about what is this, who is this Jesus, how to be right with him. And we have a little book at the back of the church called The Essential Jesus. It's the Gospel of Luke, and it talks about how to be a friend of Jesus. But if you are a friend of Jesus, you are a Christian, you know that, and then this is a message for you, for us, in this day to day. Before I begin, I'm going to read to you a little poem. It may be very familiar to all of you. It's a poem about being right with one another. Now, I had it here with me before, and I'm just trying to see if I've put it down somewhere or if I've lost it. Oh, no, here it is. I got it. Great. I knew somebody would find it. Here we go. Here we go. It's a story titled, Whose Job Is It? You may have heard it before. It's a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Have you heard that one? You heard that one? All right. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. And anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. There you go. But the key thing here that I'm trying to think of is any voluntary organization that you may have heard of the 20-80 percentage thing. 20% of people do most of the work, and the 80% are passengers or lookers on. And that's pretty true of most voluntary organisations. And it's a frustration, or it's what you have to work with, the 20-80 principle. The church, too, is not a one-person show. And in this last little bit here before us, we see that there were many people involved in the proclamation of the gospel and the start of the early church. At least I counted here about 11 people that Paul mentions here that are involved with him and located with him there in Rome, under house arrest with him or nearby. The church is not one person. In fact, there are a number of messages in the Bible and passages that talk about the church being a body. Could you imagine a body that only 20% of it is actually working? The 80%, isn't it? Extremely frustrating. Yes, people with that still work and work very well, and it's quite impressive. But when it's 100% meant to be working, it would be a lot better. The church is not one person show, but the church is actually a team. And so if you've got your Bibles open there in front of you, or the order of service in front of you, I'm going to just go through these passages, this last little lot, and see that you'll see that there are many people who the church is made up of very different people. You've got Tychicus, you've got Onesimus, you've got Aristarchus, you've got Mark, Barnabas is mentioned, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, Demas, Nympha, Archippus, you know, and Paul himself are all mentioned here, all different people with different roles and responsibilities. Tychicus and Onesimus were like messengers or couriers, and they were to take the message of telling how the church was going. There was no Facebook, no Twitter, no emails, no that time. It was all written by hand and then passed on orally to other people. So their role was to send knowledge and to send information to express purpose that they may know about our circumstances and that they may be encouraged in heart. You know, how's Paul going? How's he going? Is he okay? Is he encouraged being in prison? What's happening there? And that's so true amongst God's people. You'll see us being an encouraging, concerned about the welfare of one another. But made up of different people with different roles and responsibility. Onesimus was meant to help Tychicus along the way as he goes on his journey. Onesimus was a slave who actually had run away from his owner at the time and was very remorseful about that. And there's a little book in the New Testament after Philippians that talks about his little journey, Onesimus in Philemon, the book of Philemon. Aristarchus, Mark and Barnabas and Justus, they're Jewish people. Epaphras, Luke and Demas are actually Greek people. And so Paul is involving both Greeks and Jews who have become Christians in the proclamation of the gospel going forth. There's also the person of Nympha there who has a church meeting in their house. Different people, different roles, different responsibilities from different backgrounds, belonging though to one family, to the family of God in Jesus Christ. And they're described here as welcoming and caring for each other, appreciative of whatever each is doing. servants of Jesus Christ and people of prayer. Epaphras was the man who actually brought the good news about Jesus to the people in Colossae. It wasn't Paul himself. Epaphras had heard it from Colossae and from Paul, and he went to Colossae and told the message of the good news about Jesus to them, and they're converted and the church begins. He's there with Paul as well. He's always wrestling in prayer for them, that they mature in Christ, they'll know the will of God, be fully assured, and that Paul vouches for his work that's hard amongst them. They practice hospitality. They govern and guided by God's word. Paul asks that the scriptures be read. And that's a very significant thing. And the Christians read the scriptures in church together. It was what Jews did all the time in the synagogue, would read the scriptures aloud. And Paul is saying the New Testament letters are as equally God's word as the Old Testament is. Read them in church. And it's often a good practice to actually read a whole letter or a whole book in church together, like they used to do in the early church. Governed and guided by God's word. Appreciative of each person's part. Note here, remember, that Paul is actually in prison. And he's worried, most likely, about what's going to happen to him, possibly. Certainly deep down in some part of him is what's going on here. And yet he's still concerned about his other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in the ministry of what in the church that's there. He acknowledges their work. He appreciates each of their ministry. Look there at verse 7. A dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. Onesimus, our faithful, dear brother, who is one of you. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. Mark, who had abandoned the team of evangelists at one stage, but then came back. And Paul wasn't too happy about that, but later on understood the reasons and said, look, welcome him back. Welcome him. Ask for forgiveness. Welcome him back. Mark, Justus, Epaphras, all of these people acknowledging, I vouch for him. When was the last time we may have said to somebody in church for the little things that they might do, thank you. That's great what you do. Whether it's morning tea, welcoming people at church, leading the singing, leading service, visiting someone, ringing them up. It's not a one-man show. It's everybody's responsibility. Appreciative of each person's part. The church is not a one-person show. The church is not a team, a team that works together as one, aware of the struggle of ministry. Paul is not afraid to say to this church, remember my chains. He's not afraid to say to them, this is hard work. And he's not afraid to say to Archippus, yep, see to it that you complete the work you've received in the Lord. I don't know what's gone on in Archippus. We don't know what's happened there, but maybe he's discouraged. Maybe he's finding it hard to complete the task that he was given to do for the Lord. But Paul says, hang in there. Aware of the struggle of ministry, persevering despite disappointment, encouraging and thankful. But the last thing there is the most important thing to remember here. The body, the church, being church is about being a people who are dependent upon God. He finishes not with just yours sincerely. It's not just an off-the-cuff end of greeting. He's reminding us, grace be with you. And the word grace there means God's help, God's enabling, God's ability to help you to do this. And so over these last 9 weeks, we've been thinking about what it means to be church. The last little bit of it all has been reminding us the church is not one person show. The church, we're a team. And we're a team that works together as one. See to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord, dependent on God. May God's grace be with us as we complete the work he's received for us to do. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, help us to be a people, continue to do so, to work as one team, one family, united in Christ, appreciative of each other's part to play. May we be grateful of the grace and enabling that you've done in each of our lives to be able to be a means of help. And for those of us who don't know what our part might be, help each one of us to help them to know how we appreciate whatever they do, whether it being here in church with us, a simple hello, knowing that they're praying for us, bringing the scriptures read to us, partially caring for us, reminding us of one another, whatever it might be, may we appreciate and be thankful. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.